today's gospel concludes with another episode of people trying to kill Jesus. This time they pick up stones to throw at him, and he hides and leaves the temple area. It doesn't say it in this particular verse, but we know it's because his hour had not yet come. That's the repeated refrain in the Gospel of John. His hour had not yet come. So he's in charge of when he's going to lay down his life, not his opponents. But we see this continually growing tension to the point of violence, to the point of murder that's growing in the Gospels. And we know where this is going, because next week's Holy Week. 1 week from tonight, in fact, it is a Jesus' agony in the garden of his arrest. 1 week from tomorrow, Good Friday. Today's readings mention repeatedly the figure of Abraham. First reading, Psalm, and also the Gospel, all mention Abraham. So this has been referred to as the Abraham Mass. Since we're in the Jubilee year, we can look to Abraham as a pilgrim of hope. He's one of the earliest models. In fact, he's the first to hear the word and put his trust in the word and then start out on a pilgrimage, not knowing where he was going, hoping against hope. So he's a pilgrim of hope, a model for all of us. I noticed in today's opening prayer, the collect, kind of reference to this pilgrimage of hope. I'll just read it to you again. It's addressed to the Father, but I'll read it here. Be near, O Lord, to those who plead before you, and look kindly on those who place their hope in your mercy. There's the word hope. That's what stood out for me. This is, we place our hope in God's mercy, that cleansed from the stain of their sins, they may persevere in holy living and be made full heirs of your promise. It's a description of where we are. We're stained by sin, but we put our hope in God's mercy, and because of his mercy, we have confidence that we can persevere in the pilgrimage, so that we can persevere in holy living and be made full heirs of the Lord's promise, meaning our inheritance in eternal life. So it doesn't mention Abraham, it doesn't mention pilgrimage, but I think it refers to this very thing. Now, when we get to Abraham, it's hard to pick out someone more important than Abraham. I mean, you might say Moses or David, but Abraham is the first, right? He's the patriarch of the patriarchs. The first, the father figure, the basic foundation of the faith response. And that's why Jews, Christians, and Muslims all look back to Abraham as their father, our father in faith. So it's hard to get greater than Abraham, and that's why when Jesus says something about not seeing death, his opponents bring up the figure of Abraham, say, well, you say you won't see death. What about Abraham? Abraham died. If Abraham died, well, then everybody's going to die. It's kind of like, that's the logic. If Abraham died, well, then, and nobody's greater than Abraham, then we all die. Who are you? And they think he's possessed. They think he's insane. They can't figure out why he would bring up this wild claim to be greater than death. And when they bring up Abraham, well, Jesus goes with it and says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham saw me and rejoiced. And they say, you're not even 50 years old. It's ridiculous to them. They have no concept of what he's talking about. Well, you can understand why they have no concept of it, because he's revealing his pre-existence, what the theologians call pre-existence, his divine identity. God existed before Abraham, and Jesus is God. So in his human nature, no, he's not even 50 years old. But in his divine nature, he's eternal. He's the eternal word of the Father. And Abraham put his trust in the word of the Lord. So what Jesus is revealing here is way beyond the capacity of his listeners. He's not doing it just to, I don't think he expects them to be able to believe it. What he's doing is planting seeds. In fact, he's doing it for our benefit. He knows that they're already out to kill him, so he doesn't have to antagonize them any further, but he does have to complete his mission of making known the Father, even at the cost of his life. He's going to do it. He's going to persevere in his own pilgrimage all the way to the end. So here he is planting these seeds, these truths that are just explosive in their full meaning, that he himself, Jesus, is greater than Abraham and pre-exists Abraham. Before Abraham came to be, I am, he says. It's a claim to be God. It's clearly a claim to be God. And that's why they pick up stones, because that's blasphemy. You want to claim to be God? Well then, unless you are God, that's blasphemy. Well, he is God, so that's why it's not blasphemy. Anyway, when it comes to Abraham, and he's mentioned here in the first reading too, when his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, and the promise of the Lord was repeated and in fact expanded. Not only is he going to be the father of many descendants, but he's going to be the father of many kings and many nations. There is a figure in the scriptures who is mysteriously greater than Abraham, and that's Melchizedek. He's not mentioned here. But Melchizedek shows up in the book of Genesis and brings out bread and wine, and he blesses Abraham, and then Abraham gives him a tithe. And then Melchizedek disappears and you never hear about him again. He's mentioned once in the Psalms, and then in the letter to the Hebrews, there's a long reflection on Melchizedek. Melchizedek, who blesses Abraham, and the author of Hebrews says, a lesser is blessed by a greater. So this Melchizedek has to be greater than Abraham. And Abraham gives to Melchizedek a tithe. So it's clear that Abraham is lower in rank than this Melchizedek. Who is this? Well, we know, and the church has reflected on this for many years, he's a forerunner or a figure of Jesus. Jesus is the high priest who's greater than Abraham. He's the one who blesses. And that's why Jesus can make this claim to be greater than Abraham, because he's of the line of Melchizedek. He's the eternal high priest. Now, here we are in the later stage of Lent, and we're on a pilgrimage of hope. We struggle with our sins, we struggle with our understanding, we struggle with the contradictions in the world. Where do we place our hope? Not in ourselves, not in our ability to do better, not in our ancestry, Abraham or anyone else, but only in Jesus. Jesus, the I Am. Jesus, the one who blesses, the one who saves, the one whom Abraham rejoiced to see. This is who we rejoice to see, Jesus. So we we persevere in our pilgrimage by putting our trust in the mercy of God, and the mercy of God is revealed fully in Jesus, our eternal high priest.